What's going on, guys? It's Pixel Dan here. Before we get into today's podcast, I kind of wanted to apologize real quick. This episode was definitely supposed to be up like a week earlier than it's actually going online. Jonathan and I recorded this episode right before I left for New York Toy Fair, and I was really hoping I would be able to get this all edited and online, and so it was ready for you guys to listen to while I was gone, and well, that didn't happen. it was crazy, obviously, and traveling. If any of you guys ever travel, you know things just don't always go the way you want them to. I had to deal with flight cancellations and all kinds of stuff that really kind of put me behind. And of course, by the time I got everything straightened out, got myself to New York, it was full on Toy Fair mode. So just wanted to apologize that this wasn't online sooner. I guess the good news is that there will be a shorter wait between this episode and the next one, because Jonathan and I will be recording again within the next couple of days here, and we'll be talking all about both New York Toy Fair and the Oscars. So a lot of cool things on the way. If you guys are toy fans and you're interested in seeing some of my stuff and you haven't already checked out my coverage from New York Toy Fair, I've got like nearly 50 videos online right now between the Pixel Dan channel and the Toyac channel on YouTube. So definitely go over there and check both of those channels out. Just do a search for Pixel Dan or Toyac, or both, preferably. Check out my coverage videos from New York Toy Fair. And with that said, I'll save all the rest of the Toy Fair talk until the next episode. For now, enjoy this new episode.
Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
Welcome to the Geekeasy podcast. I am your host, Pixel Dan Erdley. And I am joined once again, as always, by the other host, Jonathan Leonard.
Hey, I love it when the announcer voice comes out.
Yeah, you like that?
The intro voice is on.
Every time. I catch you off guard every time.
It does. I do not expect it.
Hey, so let's just get this right out the gate. This is going to be pretty exciting, this episode.
Yeah.
We got some fun stuff to talk about.
We have literally the only thing to talk about.
Yeah, like this whole podcast is probably going to be dedicated to this one topic, because I feel like all these podcasts that we've done, this specific thing has been brought up multiple times. So it's almost like it's all been leading up to this moment right here on this podcast. If you haven't heard the big news, you're obviously under a rock, and if you don't know what we're talking about, you are a crazy person. The big news is that Spider-Man is home!
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But mostly, I mean, good enough.
We hope. We think. You're probably right. I'm gonna keep the happy vibes going.
Yeah.
So, and if you haven't heard that news, then you don't know what the internet is, and I have no idea how you found us.
I couldn't. Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, if you're listening to us, you know this news already. Yeah.
There were like, what was it, Monday night? They said it Tuesday morning. There were like 14 different links out of the first 17 or 18 on Yahoo.
It was
like,
ridiculous.
It was like all the news.
Yeah, it was everywhere. Yeah. I got onto my Facebook and my wall had just exploded with it. You know, like,
you emailed me when it happened, and I didn't see the news for like, because you emailed me and Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got an email. I was like 2 hours ago, Dan emailed me. And it just said, hey, it's official, Spider-Man's home or whatever. And I immediately knew what that had to mean, and then like an hour after that, Ryan had finally responded. He was just like, "What?" And
well, it was,
and then I had the exact same reaction. I'm like, "I know what that has to mean, but that can't possibly mean that. And why haven't I heard yet?"
I know. Yeah, it was a total coincidence that I happened to like stumble upon it, because it was kind of late at night, and I was just like, oh, "I'll just do this quick sweep of Facebook before I call it a night." And, like, I popped on Facebook, and the first thing that popped up was somebody posting it. And I was like, Surely not. This just happens every so often. Somebody says something about Spider-Man being in the Marvel Universe. But as I kept scrolling, like, I noticed the story kept popping up. But then I saw, like, actual links to, like, legitimate news websites reporting it. And I was like, holy crap. So I immediately sent you guys that email. Yeah. I was like,
And of course, the one time my phone is nowhere near me and I'm not paying any attention is when everything's gone. So I was on my way to bed and I was really tired and I saw that and I'm like, must go stumble through news stories.
I got to find out if this is the real deal.
Yeah, and I read two of them. They said basically the exact same thing. And I'm like, all right, good enough. I can research this in the morning.
Yeah. So, the big deal here is that, and this is exactly what we kind of speculated could happen if it would. We were doubtful, obviously, but there was full reason to be doubtful.
6 months ago, we were going, there's an outside off chance that maybe a conversation has actually taken place that was about this. And even though it went nowhere and can't really go anywhere, maybe there's an offbeat chance now that somewhere like 4 years in the future, maybe it can finally get somewhere, and maybe, just maybe, somewhere down the line in like phase 7, Spider-Man will be part of the MCU. And that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But it won't happen.
But sure enough,
yep.
Marvel and Sony came to an agreement where they're basically going to share the character. The way it's going to work under this new deal is that there will be a new Spider-Man who will first appear in a currently unspecified Marvel film, which hasn't been officially announced yet, but speculation is pointing to Captain America Civil War.
It's pretty
much
gotta be.
It makes sense, right?
Yeah.
We talked about that before, too.
Just by the dates, it's gotta be.
Right. So he's gonna show up in this movie in the Marvel Universe. Then from there, Sony Pictures will release the next installment of the Spider-Man franchise in a film that's gonna be like a standalone Spider-Man film. And then I guess from there, it's going to be like a collaboration between the two companies and Sony Pictures are going to continue to actually finance and distribute and have final creative control over the actual Spider-Man franchise.
Where it gets scary.
That is where it gets a little scary. So Sony themselves still get control over the character because they still actually hold the rights to Spider-Man in the movies. So part of the deal was, all right, Marvel, we're going to let you guys use him in your films. You can actually have him as part of the universe now, but we still actually have creative control over our movies and like the direction of this character. So you're right, that is where it gets a little bit scary. Now I'm hoping, since they are collaborating with Marvel, and that they're actually, you know, they're proactively working to make him mesh with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that it's gonna be okay. Like they're hopefully not gonna steer too far off that path. Hopefully whatever they do will still fit in with the universe that's happening in the Marvel Studios world. That's just my big hope right now. Like, I'm hoping that it's not going to get too out of
hand.
Well,
and here's my take on the situation. One of the first things I said to you, I'm like, why am I not happier right now when I first read this?
Yeah.
Because of some of that wording. Because Sony still has full creative control, quote unquote. They make all the final decisions. They still own the franchise, and I'm not 100% sure. Like, I haven't gotten my mind wrapped around exactly how the money's flowing. Doesn't seem like Marvel's really making any of the money.
Yeah.
But, and I think I've specifically read that they're not making any of the money, but you never know what's fully accurate and what's not, you know. But the idea there is that they don't, I mean, they still have always, well, not always, but they have licensing rights to Spider-Man, merchandising and whatnot. Sony has film rights.
Right.
So I think the idea is if we've got a franchise stumbling out of the gates that everyone stops caring about, then they stop buying toys and lunchboxes.
Yes.
So if we can come in, I mean, you're going to fund this movie. We'll come in and write it for you. We'll come in and pick creative for you. We'll make it really good for you. And you don't even have to pay us. We'll sell so many book bags.
Yeah,
and action figures that we don't care, you know, and that makes perfect sense.
Right, it really does.
It really does,
and it's not an uncommon thing either by any means. I mean, think about all like merchandising is huge.
Yeah,
That's where a lot of money can be made, is on merchandising. So if Marvel still gets all the money from the merchandising, which makes sense, you know, they actually own the character, so they would get money from the merchandising, then, I mean, they're not really losing out here at all. All they're doing, I mean, they may not be getting any money from the from these movies, but they are hopefully improving that brand.
Exactly.
They're making it matter again.
Yep.
And in turn, it will make people want to buy comic books and toys and book bags and all that stuff.
And they will still get money from the MCU movies that he shows up in.
Right.
And that those are still there.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
You know, yeah, and I don't know if they'll have to give like a percentage or some sort of licensing fee or something to Sony, but again, I'm sure it's small potatoes in the big picture.
Right.
The thing, again, that really scares me is the full creative control, quote unquote.
Yes.
But I really, and I'm reading this and I'm hoping this, and it threw me when I first read it, and it scared me, and the more I'm thinking about what's going on, I got nothing but full faith in Kevin Feige and Marvel in general. What that has to mean, in my brain, that has to mean that Sony needs to save face, Sony needs to be in charge, because it's their property and they're not going to give up anything more than they can. Sony needs to be able to say, hey, these are our movies, by basically hearing whatever Marvel says and nodding and going, yep, that's exactly what we want to do.
Yep, yep.
And then just kind of looking around the room all shifty and just walking away again and letting Marvel do their thing.
Well, it's like, I like the quote here from Michael Lenton, the chairman and CEO of Sony Pictures. He says, Marvel, Kevin Feige, who helped orchestrate this deal, are the perfect team to help produce the next chapter of Spider-Man. This is the right decision for the franchise, for our business, for Marvel, and for the fans. That's what Sony's saying. I love it. Good job, Sony.
Yeah. But that's, and I mean, you think about it, if they're gonna, I mean, they don't have any reason to give up the full rights to this.
Right.
There's no price you can put on a franchise this huge. They're, in theory, giving up the absolute most that any sane studio could, but in doing so, by letting another studio come in essentially and make their movies for them, they can't just go, we are totally Marvel's tool now, and so we're just, you know, they can't put that out in the trades. They can't.
Right,
and that's my hope here. That's why I'm looking at this wording going, why does it say that? Well, what else could it say?
Yeah.
You know, they got to come out and say, oh, these are our movies, and we're, you know, we're the ones who are making these decisions. We're just letting someone else come in and have input. I.e., Marvel's going to write and direct our movies.
Yeah.
And we're going to nod towards whatever they say and then count our money.
Right, right. And to be perfectly honest, this scenario here is probably the best we could have hoped for with this. Because the only other options we would have is Sony just gives Spider-Man back to Marvel, which is not going to happen because regardless, they're still going to be able to use that character to make money, even if it's not as big as they want. And they're not going to just turn that over to Marvel to make a ton of money on where they get nothing.
Yeah. Let's remember the giant box office failure that was Amazing Spider-Man 2 still made like $750 million.
Right.
Like, they turned a profit
exactly.
on it. It may not have been what they were projecting and wanted, but it's not like they were draining money into it.
Right.
It's still a cash cow.
Right. And the only other option there would be just for them to keep doing their own things without Marvel's involvement. So this collaboration here is absolutely the best we could have hoped for. And we should all be happy that it's happening. Because now we get arguably Marvel's biggest character.
Not arguably.
Okay. Definitely Marvel's biggest character. You know, one of the most recognizable superheroes who probably ranks right up there with Superman and Batman recognizable characters can finally appear alongside these massively successful, you know, in these massively successful movies with Captain America and Thor, which is what everybody's wanted to see.
Yeah.
You know, how many casual fans have watched those movies and said, where's Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Like, if Captain America and Thor and all these other guys can come together, how come Spider-Man can't be there? And now they'll get to see that.
And I'm super excited for Marvel's sake to see what they can do with their true A-list guy.
Yeah.
You know, because, there's only a couple of A-list guys per company.
Yeah.
Truly. Obviously, Batman and Superman for DC.
Uh-huh.
They've got other heavy hitters, but even your Green Lanterns and your Flashes and like all the like those recognizable guys that most people know, like they're still not the cream of the crop, you know. Marvel's got Spider-Man, and you can probably argue Wolverine. Let me preface that. Flashback 10 years.
Yeah, it's
before
tough
these
to
movies,
say,
and that's what I'm saying. Like, if you were going into all these movies before they were super popular, like the two most recognizable properties were Spider-Man and the X-Men. And Wolverine's always the standout among the X-Men. So if you had to pick two, those are probably the ones I'd pick. Now, flash forward to present day, do they have other A-listers? Yeah, Iron Man, absolutely, for sure. You can argue Captain America's right up there, especially after that second movie. You could argue that Guardians of the Galaxy is fast approaching that with how well-received that was. You really could.
Right.
But none of these guys were A-list before Marvel made them A-list through this cinematic universe.
That's true.
Guardians of the Galaxy was Q-list 6 months ago.
Right.
You know, like, nobody even knew who they were.
Right.
And Iron Man was always that guy. Like, even when that movie was coming out, it's like, hey, Iron Man? All right. Whatever. I like superhero movies.
Yeah.
I used to read a few Iron Mans. That's cool, you know? People knew who they were, but they weren't. I mean, they were Flash level. They were Green Lantern level. They were, at best, They were not A-list until Marvel said, you know what? We don't have any A-guys to put on screen, so we're going to make our B-squad our A-squad and blow everybody out of the water, and they did. So, now that they actually have a full-on certified, bona fide A-plus guy from the get-go, one they don't have to make, now what are they going to do with him? I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. And it is definitely worth mentioning that it will not be Andrew Garfield. And we've actually talked about on the show just real recently, as recent as the last episode, how there were already all kinds of reports that Garfield was out for whatever the next Spider-Man movie was going to be.
Yeah.
Because Sony viewed the Amazing franchise as such this big failure, and things started, all these dates that were set for this big event that they were planning suddenly kind of came up in question, and then all those reports started showing up that Garfield was definitely out, so it looked like they were going to try rebooting again. So we kind of knew this going in.
Yeah.
But it does seem like it's kind of caught a lot of people by surprise. Like, it's not going to be Garfield crossing over. They're obviously going to be starting from scratch with a new Spider-Man. I'm really hoping they don't give us any type of origin with him. I hope he just shows
They're
up.
They're smarter than that.
They should know better, right?
Yeah,
right.
They're smarter than that.
Well, especially since he's appearing first in probably Civil War.
Yeah.
They can't do an origin there.
No.
He has to be Spider-Man already.
Man, how is that movie going to be like 4.5 hours?
I know, because Panther's in that too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's still
Black
a big
Panther.
Part of it. And I don't know. I mean, think too, Spider-Man might just be a post-credits thing.
I hope
you know,
he just
he really
by
might
in the
be.
Background.
You know, yeah.
There he is, guys. We did it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like holding a Marvel flag just swinging around in the background of like a really dramatic scene, you know?
And that's we're watching the only Spider-Man
thing.
On TV.
But Spider-Man. We don't know if he's really going to be part of the movie or just in it. And in that level, and I don't even remember what's coming out in between Civil War and... Because Guardians 2, Civil War is May of 2016, Guardians 2 is May of 2017, and right after that is...
they changed some dates around, right? Didn't
but
I
it was
it?
All the later stuff. All they did was they plugged Spider-Man into Thor's date.
Okay.
And then they pushed Thor back one, and everything just fell suit.
Gotcha.
So they pushed back Thor, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, and the Inhumans, I believe in that order.
Okay.
But they just basically extended it out one. The only thing they did not change is they did not change Infinity War Part 1 and 2.
Nice.
Those are still set.
You
so
know,
now Inhumans, instead of coming out in between those two movies, will come out after.
I'm going to assume that this has all been kind of in the works with all of their fingers crossed for some time now.
Yeah.
Like, that they knew that they, if things went the way they wanted to, that they would be doing this, and that they would be kind of switching things around to fit it. Like, so what they announced to us was, like, what could have been, but I think, I would be surprised if they didn't already have all of this, like, in their back pocket, ready to throw it out there as soon as they got the approval.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially,
at
like,
at least
if,
some version of it. Like,
yeah.
They weren't... If they've been talking about it this long, there's no way they've been making plans assuming it won't work out. If the talks are still continuing, then they have contingency factors in place.
Right.
You know, that's all there is to it. And I picked up the release dates here. It's Strange was the one I was forgetting. So it is. It's Civil War in May of 2016, and it's Strange in November of 2016. Now, if appearance can mean anything, if it could be an after-credit sequence or something... that leaves either one of those movies open.
Yeah.
Because the Spider-Man scene doesn't technically have to be even a part of it. If it's going to be full-fledged, he's in one of these movies, it has to be Civil War.
Has to be.
Because there's no way they're going to take time out of a Doctor Strange origin story to show us some Spider-Man swinging around.
Exactly.
Like, Civil War is already practically a collaboration film anyway.
Yeah, and if, I mean, we don't know how much this is going to tie to the comic book story of Civil War. Probably not a whole lot, because I don't feel like they can really set all of that up.
It depends on how you define. I mean, I think it'll be very similar in theme.
Well,
like, the events clearly won't be the same. They're not going to blow up a school. They're not going to do the registration
act
to that
level. Well,
and
that was all mutants,
too,
right?
Yeah.
That was a mutant thing.
I think
that
it was the new
caused
mutants,
the whole beginning of it.
Yeah.
But remember, Spider-Man's biggest role in it was he was the first guy to do the registration and reveal his identity, which is kind of what caused all the mayhem. And, you know, really, really got Iron Man and Steve Rogers back.
But it would be a little weird if Spider-Man just swings into that movie out of nowhere and is like, hey, everybody, you don't know who I am, but here's who I am.
Exactly.
And they're like, hey, it's some kid we don't know in some costume we don't recognize. You know?
I don't even have any villains yet.
Yeah.
This is probably safe.
Oh. But yeah, his movie's in July of 17. Which means if he's going to be in one before then, it's Civil War, Doctor Strange, or Guardians 2.
Gotcha.
It can't be Guardians 2 either.
No,
again,
there's no way.
It's a post-credit thing.
He's just hanging out in the collector's, like the collector rebuild his collection, and Spider-Man's just there, like, hey guys, somebody let me out. So the other weird thing, too, that is kind of in this story here is the Sony's Sinister Six movie, which was supposed to be, gosh, we've talked about the craziness with that, too, how it was kind of supposed to be one of these.
It was all that release date bouncing.
They bounced that release date everywhere because it looked like they had started setting up a Sinister Six, like, storyline with Amazing Spider-Man 2 that was going to culminate with the Sinister Six movie. And then after it failed so bad, in quotes, they, like, just switched that to the next release, right? Like, they were just like, well, we're going to go right into Sinister Six.
Because they had four Amazings planned.
Yeah.
Two did what two did and set up some of the villains. Three was supposed to, I think, establish the rest of them.
Yeah.
Six was going to be a, or not six, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, for the Sinister Six. But, like, the after three established everybody, there was supposed to be a Sinister Six standalone film that may or may not have even involved Spider-Man, and you have no idea what it might have been about, because nobody's ever seen a villain team movie before. For the record, DC announced, or Marvel, man, what is wrong with me tonight, Dan? I'm just so excited.
Yeah.
Sony announced their villain team-up movie before DC announced theirs. It's just the DC's might actually happen.
Oh.
Because I don't think Sony's will.
Were you talking about the
the Suicide Squad?
The Suicide Squad.
Because everybody's like, well, we've never seen a movie with a team of villains before. That's crazy. Like, no, you haven't, but there was one already coming.
Didn't I see Will Smith already backed out of that, too, right?
Did Will Smith?
Was that who it was?
Tom
Hardy backed out. Yes.
Yeah.
I saw something about Will Smith, too, though.
The news has been making the rounds the last couple of days because they interviewed him about After Earth, and he talked about how something was, he said something was broken in him after Earth failed, which, I don't know. After Earth was terrible, so I don't know why he thought it wouldn't. But I think he was just used to opening number one, and finally something came out, and everybody went, we don't care about your kid, Will Smith.
Your kid's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, he is very bizarre.
Yeah.
You were barely in this movie.
Yeah.
And even if you were, we probably wouldn't watch it.
Yeah.
So that's all the Will Smith stuff I've seen.
Okay, gotcha. So Hardy is out.
Yeah, so
Hardy's
out.
Bane will not be playing another villain in the DC movie.
Yeah, somebody must have sent him a script.
Yeah.
But that's another funny thing.
You don't get to do that cool voice.
We keep getting sidetracked here. They're talking to Ryan Reynolds more and more about all the Deadpool stuff, and then somebody brought up Green Lantern finally, to my knowledge, he pretty much flat out said, I agreed to do that movie, and then I got there, and I didn't even see the script till we started filming, and at that point, there was nothing much that could be done. You know, like, all, Hollywood, read your movies before you agree. At least get some sort of strong plot synopsis. Don't just hear a comic book and say yes. It's not a recipe for success all the time.
Well, at least DC's even trying to pretend like that didn't exist. Now.
Yeah.
They even want to wipe that whole movie clean. And
you never even saw that, did you?
No, I never did. I just, I couldn't bring, that was one of those ones I couldn't bring myself to see because it didn't look good. No. I could tell.
Yeah.
You could tell that was going to be a bad movie.
Yep.
It was just, And I like Ryan Reynolds a lot.
Yeah, I like him. I liked all the cast. I liked Martin Campbell, the director. Like, all the talent.
He's going to be great in Deadpool, though.
They just, sometimes it doesn't work out, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited about Deadpool.
So, yeah, so they were going to do the Sinister Six after Spider-Man 3, and then it was all going to culminate in The Amazing Spider-Man 4, and this was going to all take place through, what year is it? It was 14 when the other one came out, so I think it was going to be 18 or 19 when the whole thing was said and done. You know?
Right.
And then 2 came out and only made $750 million.
Which wasn't enough for them.
And they went, the ship is burning, we're going down, what do we do? So they pushed Amazing Spider-Man 3 back an extra 2 years. So it wasn't even going to come out until 2018, which is 4 years after 2, which is absurd.
Yeah.
Like, remember, Amazing Spider-Man 1 came out only 5 years after Spider-Man 3.
Right.
Like, there's no reason for that long of a gap. And then in the middle, they were going to do this Sinister Six movie that may or may not have even had Spider-Man, and even if it did, it might not be Andrew Garfield. And they were going to have some girl Spider-Man character. They were going to make a movie out of her, and they were going to do all this weird stuff.
Ugh.
And they were basically like, they were just going insane. And the news was changing every week. It's like, Sony's got a new plan. Like, dude, you guys need to calm down.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you just know? Take a step back for a minute.
And that's what makes, what makes me super happy with this stuff, is clearly they got sucker punched by their own expectations.
Yeah.
And didn't know what to do. And so they did the best thing they could, and they just called Marvel.
Marvel picked up the phone and was like, hey, guys, how's it going? Yeah, so I guess that Sinister Six movie remains in development, according to this news story.
Quote, unquote.
But has been pushed back from its 2016 release date as the studio rethinks their plans, again in quotes. Okay, obviously, I guess. I don't really understand, like, that movie's not going to happen.
It can't. Yeah. Sony still retains rights for Spider-Man characters and to make any Spider-Man movie they want to. Which, again, is part of the thing that scares me about this whole thing, is what are they going to think of doing?
Right.
But there's no way they're going to make a spin-off movie from a franchise that they've already bottomed out of and have decided to abandon. So if they were going to make a Sinister Six movie at this point, it would have to sort of be its own complete thing. And that's just going to confuse the bejesus out of everybody.
Right.
Unless they try to hammer it into this brand new Spider-Man, which is way too early in development for any of that stuff. So, at the end of the day, there's no way this movie works, so hopefully there's no way this movie happens.
Right. Agreed.
Right now, anyway. 5 years from now, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's establish this new Spider-Man in the MCU first, and then we'll see where we're at. But here's a good question. Now that Spider-Man can show up in these Marvel movies, does that open up his whole rogues gallery to the Marvel movies as well?
It's all part of the collaboration they're doing. Sony still owns them all.
Right.
They're still free to go into Sony movies. But my understanding, and again, this is all sort of spitballing the information that's at hand with us, my understanding, my take on how it all goes is, they absolutely
could.
See,
and that's exciting. Because
I'm positive, all but positive, the Spider-Man movies that Sony will be making, Marvel is making those movies.
Yeah.
And those movies will be tying in with the MCU. So if they're making Spider-Man movies with Spider-Man's rogues gallery, there's no reason there's no reason that one would be able to spill over without any of the rest.
This is exciting, and I know that Marvel's already got their big plan, and, you know, obviously the big buildup is Thanos and all this other stuff, but just thinking about potential of some of Spider-Man's villains interacting with other MCU characters that aren't Spider-Man.
Yep.
Like, think about the possibilities of, like, Norman Osborn getting involved with Tony Stark. Like, that's a thing that happens in the books. Like, that could be a thing.
Because Norman takes over S.H.I.E.L.D., doesn't he?
Well, yeah, and then the Dark Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, what if they did stuff like that?
Yeah.
That's exciting to think about. Yep. You know, you start thinking about all these cool crossovers with these other characters.
But I think that's one of those things that, because the other thing that scares me about the whole deal is, you know,
Kingpin and Daredevil.
Oh, yeah.
They could do that stuff now, right?
Well, Kingpin was already Daredevil.
Kingpin and Spider-Man they can do now.
Yeah, Kingpin and Spider-Man
MCU's got Kingpin, and now we got Spider-Man there, so we can do some of that stuff.
Yep.
Oh, see, that's exciting.
Yep. Mind blown right there again, yeah. But, like, everything sounds great right now, and I'm positive they're not going into the... I'm going to keep defaulting to that. Marvel's not going into this stuff without ideas, without contingency plans. They know what they're doing. And they're going to keep themselves safe. But how does this plan work 10 years down the road?
Yeah.
You know, how does this plan work the next time a new CEO comes into Sony and says, well, I can make whatever Spider-Man movie I want to. You know, if they get too ingrained with this stuff and then Sony decides to just pull out, that could be problematic too.
I wonder if they can.
Because
it
sounds right now like a lot of handshake deals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know for sure how that goes.
That's scary.
But yeah, but you never know. So I got to assume also that all that stuff we want to see, like the door's open now, and we can be really excited about the door being open, but I don't think they're just going to dive right through it.
Yeah.
I think it'll be, especially because also, as we've said, as you just said, they've got all of their plans set up for the next 4 years anyway,
mm-hmm.
5 years, 4 years. They're not just going to mix, you know, they're going to throw Spider-Man in there because awesome. That's great.
Right, right.
But they're not going to completely rework everything around him and his rogues gallery and whatever else.
Absolutely, now, absolutely.
At the same time, that's sort of a good thing because that gives them like a 4 year test window.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we're going to try this. We're going to try it with this one movie or this one trilogy or whatever they do. And while we're doing that, we're going to mix Spider-Man into a couple of our movies and these sort of, you know, we'd like to use them more, but we're going to use them how we can, that sort of thing to work it in. At the end of 4 years, once it's worked in, if everything's moving smoothly and great, maybe we can expand it out a little bit and have a lot of fun. If in 4 years this has just been an actual disaster and none of it's working and you guys over at Sony are all insane, cut ties and run, you know?
Get ready for a much younger Spider-Man.
Thank God.
So that's the title of this other news article, and definitely the next point that I want to bring up. So there's been a lot of buzz and already a lot of speculation about Spider-Man in the MCU because there have been other Spider-Mans playing the character in the books.
Yeah.
Peter Parker is obviously the Spider-Man. He's the original. He's the most iconic. But... you know, more recently in the books, we've had characters like Miles Morales under the mask.
Ben Reilly for life.
Ben Reilly, let's do it. Bring him in. Let's just, hey, wouldn't it be amazing if Marvel's like, all right, we're going to do a Spider-Man movie, and the first thing we're going to do, the Clone Saga. Don't worry, guys. We're Marvel Studios. We got this.
Dude, this is all just a practical joke for Disney to take a chunk out of Sony.
Dude, could you imagine, like, the... just everybody's heads would explode if they read that news. Marvel Cinematic Universe finally has Spider-Man and they're doing the Clone Saga?
I just want them to be like, Andrew Garfield's out as Peter Parker. We're done. We're done with that whole thing. But introducing our new Ben Reilly, Andrew Garfield.
Portraying the Scarlet Spider. Wearing that blue hoodie and everything.
Yep. Just comes into the press conference. I guess I'm a clone now.
Yeah. We cloned the guy that was in that Sony movie that failed.
I really liked Toby and I really liked Andrew Garfield quite a bit. My one complaint about either of those guys is they kept going into these franchises that last 5 to 10 years is their plan. And they keep hiring guys in their late 20s to play Parker.
Yeah.
Like, go get a kid.
Well, and Andrew Garfield, it says right here, he's 31.
Yeah, he's 31 already now.
And that's the route both of those movies took. Like, they kind of started with the high school thing, but got out of it real fast.
Yeah.
And immediately went into, well, now he's an adult and he's out of school. But even then,
he's still like, and he's still supposed to be a young
He's
guy.
Supposed to be young.
And that's great. I don't mind a 26-year-old playing a high schooler, especially for one movie.
Right.
I certainly don't mind a 26-year-old playing a 22-year-old, but The problem is when you hire him, he's 26 and he does this one movie and it takes 2 years to make and release. And then he does another movie and it takes 2 to 3 years to make and release. And if you're looking at a trilogy plus spinoffs plus maybe taking it farther, I mean, seriously, the guy's going to be 40 by the time.
Exactly.
And he's still going to be playing like a 22-year-old.
Plus,
you know?
And I know that obviously Spider-Man's been around for a long time. His character's evolved. He has grown up. He has gotten married and everything. But a big part of what really made Spider-Man Spider-Man originally was everything that he had to deal with in his everyday life as a teenager in high school and juggling the responsibility of being a superhero.
Growing up with this stuff.
That's what made him really connect with his audience back then, and that's what made him so special and different than all the other heroes that had ever existed before him. So I like the idea of them, and it makes sense if Marvel's doing this because they know. You know? So I like the idea of them looking for a much younger actor and making him a kid in all of this because that's how it should be, at least at the beginning.
He should be a kid. Like 21 should be the cap for the guy starting out there. Yeah. You know? And I mean, if you find a really special guy who's 23, fine. But stop looking at 25 and older.
Make him nerdier looking too, man. Garfield was like, I don't know, like Garfield was, I liked Garfield as Spider-Man, but he was definitely like that cool nerd, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Toby had the good nerd thing going on, for sure, but Garfield definitely had like that hipster thing kind of going on with him. Like, Peter does need to be a little more nerdy.
Yeah.
Like, that's another part of that character, you know? Yeah. He's got he grows out of that eventually, but while he's in high school, man, he's straight up a nerd. Let's you know, we got to have a little nerd.
Unless he's
kid.
Got the costume on, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean, they've done that fairly well to this point in Superman movies.
Yeah.
You know, and we didn't get a good look at Henry Cavill as Clark Kent as the nerdy one at least. I mean, we got that snippet at the end.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I know you guys know who I am, but here I am, Clark Kent now. Yeah. Not Superman. It wasn't me.
Yeah, I'm a seasoned writer. I mean, I'm just being trained, but I'm being trained by the best reporter in the city because that's how training goes.
Sorry about that whole thing that my brother did. That was not me.
Anyways, stay positive. Stay positive.
I know.
I'm trying to say something nice about DC movies. And we get back into that.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
But Ralph and Christopher Reeve, I mean, they both pulled off very convincing, confident, larger-than-life Supermans and dweeby
Clark Kents,
you know? So there's guys who can do both. Find one.
So what are your thoughts on this not being Peter Parker? If they decide to go with, like, Miles Morales instead.
Like, I don't know anything about the Miles Morales
and
character.
And I don't either, honestly. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about before how we've kind of been out of comics actual comic books for a while now. So I know exactly who he is. I kind of get the gist of the story that brought him into the play and everything, but I have no experience with his character whatsoever.
I like Peter.
Yeah.
So I kind of hope they go with Peter.
Yeah.
I don't know this kid. He's probably a fun Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. He's from the Ultimate line, and I don't know if Bendis was still writing him when he came in, but I think they were. And I never read anything Bendis wrote that I didn't love. But
Ultimate Universe is combining with the regular universe now, too,
think this kid might be popping through.
Yeah.
Because that's what I keep reading stuff. It's like, he's been part of the Marvel Universe for a while, and I'm going, because people who write this stuff on the internet don't always know what they're talking about. And I don't either, so I'm not refuting that, but I don't think that's right. I think he's been part of the Ultimate Universe, which is not the same thing, you know? Not that that matters as far as the movies go. There's plenty of stuff from the Ultimate Universe that has bled over Sam Jackson. They drew Fury in the Ultimate Universe to look like Sam Jackson, and then they started making movies, so they hired Sam Jackson. Perfect.
Made perfect sense.
I won't be as excited about this if it's not Parker, because it's not the Spider-Man I know at that point. It's not the one I've been waiting for. It's just a guy who happens to be in a spider costume. That doesn't mean it won't be cool. I just don't know anything about it, so I have nothing to be.
I have enough faith in Marvel at this point that, like, I would definitely give it a chance, and it'll probably turn out to be awesome. You know what I mean? But I do feel that they won't go with anybody but Parker.
Yeah.
Because it's too iconic. Like, everybody knows who Peter Parker is.
It would be like blowing their shot. Yeah. You know? And why would they start there? And remember, too, they're making 2 to 3 movies a year.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be in this business for a while. So if you want to do Miles Morales, why not build your Parker universe and transition to that in the next phase somewhere?
You could do that.
You know? And I'd like to see that, because then that would give me whatever introduction I need, but it would still give me the Spider-Man that I wanted in the first place. You
right.
know? I don't know. Are there any other ones? That's the other thing. Sony and Marvel, when they made their announcement, I swear somewhere in the quote that they listed, you know, our beloved Peter Parker, or we're really excited about, you know, bringing Peter Parker into our universe. They listed Parker. I'm positive in there. And then all of a sudden, 2 days later, everybody's like, we don't even know which Spider-Man it'll be. Maybe it'll be this other one. And I'm going, but didn't they say that? I mean, it's not set in stone either way, but I think they said that, but there's just this big push right now for diversity, and that's a good thing. I got no problem with that. But what it's led to is every time any comic book movie comes out, they are just pushing to shift things around, to make things, you know, everybody was all up in arms because there weren't female superheroes. Now both companies have a female-centered movie coming out.
Yeah.
And that's awesome, you know. And now it's like, well, there's no black superheroes. Well, they have the Black Panther. I'm sure they've got Cyborg over in DC.
Cyborg's coming in.
They haven't announced who their Green Lantern is, but I got to assume there's a strong chance they're going with John Stewart. You know,
because they're going to try to brush that whole Ryan Reynolds movie under the rug.
Exactly.
So they're like, oh, no Hal Jordan. Let's do John Stewart.
So they got, but it's like, and I'm not opposed to any of this stuff except that it's just becoming like the new trend that every time a comic book movie does something, You better make it a non-white, non-male lead. And I don't know why that means I can't have my Peter Parker. You know, just leave some of it alone.
I just want my Peter
Parker.
And
even with Parker, like, there was a big push in 2012 to get Donald Glover cast, which I don't even think they looked at him, you know?
Yeah.
And he would have been a great Peter Parker, I think. Now, I don't want him anymore. I don't know that I wanted him that, because he's 31, 33, something like that now. He was already too old, but he wasn't much older than Garfield, so if that's what they were going to do, cool. My complaint from 10 minutes ago was, stop hiring old guys to play Parker for 10 years, you know? So I don't particularly want him anymore, even though I think he would have been an amazing one at a time. He's 31 years old, 33 years old now. He doesn't fit the criteria anymore.
Right.
They really found a guy who was perfect as Peter Parker, like I think, I keep wanting to call him Troy, because of Community.
Oh, yeah.
Like Donald Glover would have been, and he just happens to be black, I'm totally open to that. But I'm not open to going, well, what we need is a black Spider-Man, so just find somebody to fill that void.
Right,
you know? And that's what we've talked about this on the show a couple of times. If you find the perfect guy and he's not the same race, cool, he's still the perfect guy. But don't just start grabbing your characters and go, we need more black ones, so we're just going to make some of these guys black. Just find somebody to do it. That's not servicing anyone.
Right, and we're still waiting to find out, too, if that's even going to work in, like, Worst-tastic Four.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about that before, too. Yeah. But Worst-tastic Four has way more problems going wrong with it anyway. Yeah. That's not... Yeah. Has nothing to do with the actor who's Johnny Storm, you know? Yeah, I know. It's pretty crazy to think about. But I am in the mindset that there's no way it's not going to be Parker. It's got to be Parker.
It's got to be.
It has to be Parker at this point. And it's fun to speculate, and I can totally understand why people are speculating. You know, it's a new shot. It's a new chance. Yeah. It's Spider-Man. They're kind of trying to start fresh with it. Marvel's got their hands on it now, so why wouldn't they maybe try somebody different? Except that it just has to go back to the fact that Parker is too recognizable.
Yeah, and the whole reason this is cool is because now that's your big guns.
Yeah.
And again, you know, taking the new kid, the Miles kid, yes, he wears a costume, and yes, they call him Spider-Man, but that would be like going, hey, we finally got Spider-Man, now we're going to put Miguel O'Hara in there.
Right.
You know, I was like, well, that's Spider-Man 2099, ooh, but he's dressed like a spider. It's not the same thing.
What if they just do Spider-Man 2099? That'd be ridiculous, too.
I'd love to see it at some point. Would love to. I love
that
book.
I'm here from
the
future, now I'm in the universe.
Yeah. Well, didn't they bring him into...
I don't know.
I thought they brought him back somewhat recently in the comics, too. I thought I had read something about that. I got to read comics again.
I know, we really should.
I need more time.
We're terrible.
We're not terrible. We're just busy.
We're just busy.
We can give up the show and just start reading comics for two
hours
every
couple
weeks.
We're out of here, guys. We're getting together now every 2 weeks to read comic books together.
But, I mean, it goes, and just like we joked about Ben Reilly. You know, you can put Ben Reilly up there and you can put him in a spider outfit, but it's still not Spider-Man. You know,
It's a Spider-Man. Spider.
You know, the Spider-Man that people are clamoring for is Parker.
Right.
You know, the one people are excited about.
It's got to be Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be really interesting. I think it's going to be a very exciting thing. I'm anxious to see how, like, I know that all of us geeks are excited about this. All of us who've been following this and have been wanting to see this for a long time. But they also have to make this work for that casual audience who isn't quite in the know about all of this. Do you think this is going to be confusing to them at all if they... Do you think they're going to get mad when it's not Andrew Garfield? Or are they going to get mad when Spider-Man's a kid all of a sudden?
I don't think for a second they're going to care when it's not Andrew Garfield and it's not the same continuity. I think their audiences are smart enough to figure that out.
Yeah.
And that's been one of our arguments since the beginning of comic
book
movies.
That's
true. You know, you can bounce story to story. People will follow you.
Right.
You know, the stuff they do between TV and movies, you know, like people were freaking out because Superman Returns came out and Smallville was still on the air, and everybody's like, well, it should totally be Tom Welling. If we're gonna do a Superman movie, it should be Tom Welling.
Oh yeah, I remember
and
that.
You're gonna confuse everybody.
I remember
because
that.
Smallville's on the CW.
Also,
it gets
yeah.
great CW ratings, which means it gets almost a tenth of what a network show will
and
get.
And that
you know?
Show was barely a Superman show.
Yeah, but
that was like,
but the idea still stands. Like, you people can handle two different
universes.
You know, right. That's not a problem. The points to what you were saying are twofold. One, you know, it's like, well, you know, the nerds who are in the know, they get it. I'm becoming more and more convinced with everything I read that the nerds who are in the know, quote unquote, and that's like the theme of the show, I think.
The quotes.
Is the quote marks that the audience can't
see. Yeah, we're
doing
all these air quotes, you can't tell.
Yeah. The people who are in the know for how this stuff works has no idea how this stuff works.
Well, that's true.
And you can tell from the billion articles that have come out that look like this is a guy who half knows what's going on in this world, and he's saying a bunch of stuff like, no, he doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
Between the speculation and the misfacts and the almost, you know, facts and all the stuff that's popping through, like any one of these articles I've read, I can read it and go, okay, I know I'm not an insider, but I know just enough to know that this is at most half accurate.
Right.
You know? The other thing is, as far as confusing the audience, like that may be a thing that happens, but not to a detrimental degree, because I think to that degree, Marvel audiences were already a little bit confused because, you know, when they go to see a Spider-Man movie, it's got that Marvel logo at the front.
Yeah.
And when they go to see a Captain America movie, it's got that Marvel logo at the front. But for some reason, Captain America hangs out with all those buddies once every couple of years, and Spider-Man stays to himself, you know?
Yeah.
The real casual fans know that they're in the same universe already and just don't really, you know, they either don't know or don't care why there's no blend.
Yeah.
So I think when you just give them new Spider-Man, they're going to be totally fine with that.
Yeah, I think so, too.
When they find out that it does blend now, it's going to be like, you know, hey, cool. And that's, you can get that. I mean, you can talk to guys at work at the water cooler and kind of get that exact same impression. Because sometimes you do have to explain it.
I do.
You know, but a lot of, you remember, a lot of people aren't like us. They're not waiting movie to movie.
I know, you're right.
A lot of people are, even some of the casual fans are. But there are also a lot of people who, they see the previews and they watch one out of every three movies because their friends invite them to. You know, they like them every time they see them, but they're not tracking who's in what movie and who's bouncing over and whatever. You know, they're just going to shell out their $10 when the opportunity strikes.
Right. Yeah, I was just telling you last week that it's a pretty common thing for me to have discussions like that at my day job with, you know, there's guys around our age who do really like those movies, but they only know who these characters are casually, and they like when the movies come out and they're fun. So, like, they always talk to me about them because they know that I'm a big geek for this stuff. But that's kind of exactly how they are, you know? Like, they think the movies are awesome. They really like them. But there's, you know, I'm always way more excited than they are. So they always ask me questions. Like, you know, there's certain things that they don't really get sometimes. Or, like, what was this about? And, you know, you have to sometimes explain some of the inside things to them. But a lot of time, like, that has come up before where I've had to try to explain, you know, wow, Spider-Man can't show up in Avengers because Spider-Man's a Sony character. Like, well, what about the X-Men? It'd be cool to see Hugh Jackman over there. Well, Hugh Jackman also can't because he's owned by Fox. But aren't they all in the same comics? Yeah, they're all in the same comics.
Yep.
Well, when's Batman going to be there? Okay, that's a completely different...
Yeah.
That's a completely different... You know, like, I do have to have conversations.
Get back to work,
like,
Carl. Yeah. No one wants to talk to you.
I do have to have conversations like that sometimes. But you're right. They do really like the movies. They're not overly concerned with that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But you could tell that they would be excited to see it happen. So
exactly.
When Spider-Man does pop up.
And ultimately, let's remember this, too. Like, we're super excited to see what he does with the MCU.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing I'm super excited about. really good Spider-Man movies.
Oh, my gosh.
With or without Captain America in them.
Well, and we've both talked about before how Spider-Man's always been, like, our favorite, one of our favorite superheroes. Spider-Man was always one of my favorite superheroes, especially growing up, you know? So I want to care about this character in the movies again. I want to be excited about his movies.
Yep.
And while I liked the Amazing movies okay, they didn't bring out that level of excitement that the Marvel Universe movies do.
And the first Spider-Man movies were so groundbreaking in the comics genre.
Yeah.
They totally hold up, but the excitement level for them is diminished because we've seen so much else. Because
we've seen so much
else. Like in 2002, when I first saw Spider-Man, my brain might as well have melted.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, and we still very much have that movie and the Fox X-Men movies to thank for this universe
for sure,
even existing.
For sure, for sure.
You know?
But like even as far as like 2007, when Spider-Man 3 came out, and you were like, hey, okay.
Yeah.
You could still look at Spider-Man 1 and 2 and be like, man, these are just the like they're never going to top these, you know?
Right.
And then now all of a sudden you flash forward again, and we've seen a lot of, you know, if you can make a Thor movie that I'm more excited about than the Spider-Man movie coming out around the same year, then I can't wait to see what you do with a Spider-Man movie.
I know.
Like, you made Iron Man one of the most entertaining things in cinematic history.
Yeah.
And now you've got Spider-Man.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that?
Oh,
and the more I think about that, the more I'm like, man, I'm juiced for the collaboration, but I really just want to see how good those movies
are. We got to be careful. We don't want to overhype ourselves here. Like,
it's too late.
It's too late.
Yeah.
I don't want to get let down. I really don't want to get let down.
I can't help but hype myself. Like, even the Amazing movies, which I like a lot more than you did.
Yeah.
But I tried really hard not to get super excited about them because I was so scared going into both of them that I was going to hate them.
Yeah.
And because it was just so... They were fun, but they weren't like the Spider-Man I wanted, you know? But even given all that, like, the closer and closer it got, when I would see trailers, I'd have to physically, like, suppress it. Like, I'd have to... Or not mentally, I guess. I'd have to think, stop it.
Right.
Stop getting excited.
Because
you're getting giddy over something that, even if it's good, you don't need to be giddy about.
Yeah.
You know? But now, I'm just going to let loose and be super excited about this first one, at least. Underwhelms me, it underwhelms me, but I'm going to enjoy the ride.
I'll tell you what, like, building up to it is going to get exciting. Because, like, every Marvel movie I see before that, I'm going to be like, please let there be, like, some sort of teaser for Spider-Man.
Yep.
Like, you're going to really be watching for those after-credit scenes going, please let this be a Spider-Man teaser of some sort.
Yep.
Show me something with Spider-Man.
Well, and I want to throw this out there, too. I've been saying for probably at least a month now, and I think I might have even said it on the air in the last podcast. I can't remember. The closer and closer we're getting the Avengers coming out, like, I'm super, super juiced. But the closer the Avengers comes, the more people are talking about Civil War.
Yeah.
And the more I start thinking, you know, I got to be 100% honest, this sounds mind-boggling, but I'm pretty sure I'm more excited about Cap 3 than I am about Avengers 2.
Well,
because
you're
of
right,
all the
though,
stuff
like,
that's going on. And now I will just go on record and say that is official.
That's official now.
Because I'm
there.
Pretty sure Spider-Man's going to be in it. And
if
I'm right about that, then I'm definitely more excited about that than I am anything else.
You're right, though, too. Like, that seems to be how everybody is. Because, like, obviously, everybody's excited for Age of Ultron, and everything
that's
we see about
that's not a knock
it,
on that movie at all.
Right.
I'm
but
super juiced for
Civil
that.
War has been coming up in conversation a lot lately, even before the Spider-Man news, so you can tell that this is probably going to be a big deal. People are really excited about this whole Civil War thing. People are excited for Captain America versus Iron Man, starring Black Panther and Spider-Man. How crazy is that sound as a movie, right? Like, holy crap! I did not know that that was in the plans. Like, I never would have imagined that we'd be getting that movie.
Oh, man, it's crazy.
Yeah. That's going to be good times. Very, very exciting stuff. So, yeah, man. Definitely geek out. I've been excited.
Hey, they just said he'd show up in a movie before. All they said is he'd show up in a movie before his own.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll just shoehorn him into Ant-Man for no reason.
For no reason.
Yeah.
He just pops up.
Yeah. We shot this whole sequence in 4 days.
Yeah.
Because the movie comes out in 3 weeks, you know. After we got everything cast and set up, that's how it worked out. But we think it's pretty good.
He just swings by in the background or something.
Yep. No, that'd
be ridiculous.
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, it's good news, and I'm really excited. I'm glad that this came to be. It's funny, you could probably go back and listen to episodes of this podcast where we were dead set saying, there's no way this will ever happen.
Yep.
But boy, am I glad that we were wrong.
Yeah.
I'm glad that, yeah. I'm so glad yeah. that we were wrong
and
about
I, and
that.
I, and I think that's where I, like, mentally where I'm getting, and I've, and I'm sort of made that transition as this episode has progressed.
Yeah.
There's trepidation. I'm scared. I don't understand the deal fully.
And it's only natural to be nervous
exactly.
about this.
But
know?
I think I'm just going to let that go.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be excited until I have a reason not to be.
Everybody seems excited so far.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's going to be pretty awesome. And like, Marvel has to know how excited everybody is with this. So you got to think that they're going to do everything they can not to let us down.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they know what they're doing.
And again, like, it's Feige, man.
Yeah.
He's running it all, and he's right in the middle of that whole Spider-Man thing.
Right.
And they're making all the right announcements. They're mm-hmm. doing everything that they normally do, and they normally produce excellent stuff. So cool.
Yeah.
Let's just let it be fun.
Everything's great with Marvel.
Everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome. So far, I'm really loving it. Daredevil's coming up soon. We're gonna have to watch that whole thing.
Oh man.
Oh man.
That's April 10th.
So we're gonna find a day in April where you and I are gonna get together. We're gonna spend the entire day. We're gonna watch that entire
yeah,
season.
It'll
in
probably
one
be
sitting.
The second time I've watched it because I ain't waiting.
All right, that's fine. I want to watch that entire series in a sitting, and then we're gonna podcast about it so everybody knows our thoughts.
Nice.
So be ready for that, listeners. I am very excited for Daredevil, and Agent Carter has been amazing,
hasn't it?
Everybody needs to be watching Agent Carter. Like, I love S.H.I.E.L.D., but there's something about Agent Carter that is just so, like, it feels so special
it's
exciting.
Yeah.
And I really, really like it.
It's built like an event.
Yeah.
And it's like a mini-series, so
yeah.
It really is. Like, it's bookended. I mean, maybe they'll do more. Who knows?
I hope we do get
more.
But
it really is, like, and it's super cool.
Yeah.
And I really like how they're doing it. Yeah, I'm very excited
But seeing
for that.
Stuff like that, like, just gives me even more hope and excitement for things like Daredevil and the Netflix series. Because if they're doing something so awesome with Agent Carter and Howard Stark, like, what are they going to do with, like, actual superheroes?
Yep.
It's going to be awesome.
Yep.
I'm really excited.
Yep.
Daredevil's such the perfect character for them to start with for
oh,
a TV
I know.
Series.
I know.
Like, that's fantastic.
I'm really, excited to see D'Onofrio's Kingpin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because I haven't even seen any, like, pictures or anything coming out of that.
No, neither
have
I.
But... He can be creepy, menacing, and fat.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So I'm hopeful for
and
it.
And I've always liked Kingpin as a character.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm really excited for all of that.
And I keep hearing the obligatory, oh, here's something that'll finally cleanse our memories of the Ben Affleck Daredevil.
Man,
quiet down.
I like the Ben Affleck Daredevil.
Yeah, Affleck
I don't even care.
Daredevil.
I will always say that. I like that
yep.
movie. That movie gets a bad rap.
Yep, totally. It had some goofy scenes. Totally good movie.
Yeah.
Great Kingpin.
Michael Clark Duncan was an awesome Kingpin.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
And that whole, like, I'll be judging everything D'Onofrio does against that final scene with Affleck and Fisk.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just jumped from real name to
yeah.
Daredevil.
That was the Daredevil Kingpin fight?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good fight.
Yeah, exactly.
That was
I just
great.
Hope I get another version of that in, like, episode
I guess if you
want to
hate on any of that stuff, you can hate on the Elektra movie, because that was not so good.
You know, I don't even remember a single bit of
it. That's because it was not so good. We saw it in the
theater
together.
But I don't remember hating it.
I just don't remember it
at
all.
I think
we all left that movie kind of going, well, that happens. That was a thing.
It had Jennifer Garner
in it. Jennifer Garner
couldn't have been all bad.
She's nice to look at.
Yeah.
But I do. I like the Affleck Daredevil.
Yeah,
that movie gets a really bad rap, and I never understood. I defended that movie always.
Yeah,
because even back then, people hated on that movie, and I not as much as they do now.
No, and you know, it made its money. It's one of those weird movies. Like, it came out and it made money, and nobody. And then, like, all of a sudden, like a few months later, it's like, hey, you remember that piece of crap?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we liked that. Well, no, we hated it.
Yeah, well,
I'll never. I mean, Superman Returns was that way.
I think people like just like the, well, it's Affleck too. I think Affleck is part of the reason people just immediately want to be like, oh, let's hate on Affleck. Ah, yeah. Daredevil. You know what I mean? Like,
and
that,
now you suckers got him as Batman.
Yeah,
eat that.
Well, see, they announced Affleck as Batman, and the whole world went, ah, that terrible Daredevil movie. And you and I were like, I like Affleck.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
And I went, man, and I went back and watched that Daredevil movie again shortly after they made that announcement, just because it was an excuse to.
Yeah.
The action in that movie, especially specifically the hand-to-hand stuff, is so far leaps and bounds beyond anything we've seen from Batman ever.
I think we talked about that then, too. Well, I'll tell you the movie that we always bring up is Watchmen.
Yep.
Watchmen's got the best Batman fight scenes.
Yep.
It's better. It's got better Batman fight scenes than any Batman movie ever has.
Absolutely. It just Watchmen's, happens to be Night Owl instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, that whole prison break scene with Night Owl should have been a Batman scene in some Batman movie because it's amazing.
Yep.
Ah.
And it was exactly how that costume's supposed to flow, how it should have worked, how the horde should have been, because all the Batman movies were, all right, everybody, single file. Now let's get Batman, one at a time.
Well, and then they always did that weird close-up stuff in all the Nolan Batmans where you couldn't even tell what was going on and who was punching who.
Well, I remember when Batman Begins came out, I was like, man, that movie was phenomenal. I just wish they would have panned back a little bit on the action because I couldn't tell what was happening.
Yeah.
And then The Dark Knight came out, and I was like, oh, zoom in, go back.
Oh, man. I like The Dark Knight.
I love the movie. Yeah, I love the movie. The action's not good.
I'm just throwing that out there. I like that
The
movie.
Action's not good.
Watchmen, so good.
Yeah.
We should talk about Watchmen more often on this show.
But and go back and watch, like, that bar scene at the very beginning where he's of Daredevil.
Yeah.
Where he's taking out that, where, you know, he's going after that drug lord or whatever he is.
Yeah.
And he takes out that whole bar, like, he's kind of in the rafters, and they spot him, and then the lights go out, and they just, super cool fight scene.
Yeah.
And even if you take out the sensory perception stuff, and just look at the hand-to-hand action, phenomenal. Like, super fun to watch, you know?
I always like, Kevin Smith talked about recently, when the whole Affleck Batman thing first came out, that the reason that Affleck took the role of Daredevil back then was because he thought it was as close as he's ever going to get to play Batman.
Yeah.
And now he's Batman, so that's kind of neat how that whole thing happened. But that's why he took the Daredevil role back then. Plus, him and Kevin Smith have always been Daredevil fans. Smith used to write Daredevil, you know? So... But I thought that was kind of a neat way that, like, the whole thing kind of came full circle for Affleck.
Yep.
And I'm excited about Affleck. That's one of the things I am excited about with Batman versus Superman.
For sure.
I think he looks great in the suit from what we've seen.
You are not going to find a bigger Affleck mark on the internet than me. That's all there is to it.
Well, I mean, and think about
partially it's because the internet hates him.
Think about his
but
Wayne,
but also because
though.
I love that dude.
Affleck's Wayne? That's going to be a perfect Bruce Wayne. Come on.
Absolutely.
Come on.
Absolutely.
Like, that's going to be fun. I'm still like, I'm just curious about that movie. I think that's
cautiously
the best thing
optimistic.
I can say. Cautiously optimistic. Yep. I really want it to be good. I'm a big Batman fan. You're a big Superman fan. We want this movie to be awesome. It's just,
we do,
man.
We always have to point that out on the show.
We do.
We talk so much bad about DC. We want these movies to be good.
I do like it. Like, a lot of people will always comment and say, we really love your show except for all the DC hate. Like, sorry, guys, we're not really trying to hate on DC. There's just things we really don't like about a lot of their most recent movies. We want to like them.
Yeah.
We do say that all the time.
We do.
Ah, well, exciting stuff. Spider-Man is definitely the big thing. We went an hour basically talking about Spider-Man.
Yep.
I think that right there shows you how big of a deal this was, especially
absolutely.
For us.
Like, this is the news. Like, seriously. Yeah. In 02, I said, this is the movie I've been waiting for my entire childhood.
Yeah.
The Spider-Man movie. And it was.
Yeah.
I don't think that Spider-Man movie could have been any better for the time than it was.
Right.
Love that first Raimi Spider-Man. Love that second Raimi Spider-Man. Tolerate that third Raimi Spider-Man. but now we're in a new day and age, and now this is the movie I've been waiting for my entire childhood.
Yeah.
Or at least the news, you know, the movies, whatever.
Right.
So this is exciting stuff. And it's all happening in February. It's like my favorite month of the year.
Yeah.
It's Oscar season.
Oscar time.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's a good month for you.
I know. Yeah. The Best Picture Showcase is coming this Saturday. It's Valentine's Day. Luckily, my wife likes going, too.
Nice.
So I don't have to worry about missing it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
When's the Oscars again?
The Oscars are February 22nd.
Okay.
Your local AMC theaters and maybe some other chains. I don't know, but AMC does a Best Picture Showcase every year around this time. The two Saturdays prior to the Oscar, like the weekend of and the weekend before, they show all of the Best Picture nominees in the theaters at one package price. So this year there's only 8 of them. There can be up to 10, but they only nominated 8, so it's 4 movies this coming Saturday on Valentine's Day is Whiplash, Birdman.
I want to see Birdman.
Yeah, me too. Grand Budapest Hotel and Selma.
Kind of want to see Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah,
too.
So well, this will be this is kind of exciting too. I've the last few years because of this marathon, I've sort of actively tried to avoid Oscar bait movies.
Yeah.
Inevitably, I've seen a few of them, but when I go, okay, that's almost definitely going to be nominated, and I do want to see it, but I'm just going to wait.
Just going to wait for the marathon? Yeah.
This year, I finally ran the gamut. I haven't seen a single one of the eight.
Nice.
Yeah, so it'll be all new. Yeah, it'll be a marathon
that'll
of
be
brand
good.
New movies.
Good days.
Yep. And then that second Saturday is Boyhood, The Theory of Everything, Intimidation Game, and American Sniper.
Cool.
And it's, you know, it's funny. I get so excited around Oscar season. I really don't care that much about the awards.
Yeah.
Like, the telecast is fun. The awards, I don't put any stock or meaning into because it's a talent. It's not a talent contest so much as it is a popularity contest.
Yeah.
You know? It's who took the right ads out at what time. You know, because the voters, most of them don't even watch. I'm convinced they don't even watch half the movies.
Oh, gosh.
there's just no way.
Right.
So the awards themselves often come out as a joke, but the telecast is fun, and it's movie season.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't care that the awards themselves don't mean anything. It's just everybody running around celebrating movies, and it's super fun.
Yeah.
And I wish that they would nominate more fun movies, you know? Like, the whole reason they bumped it up to the possibility of 10 was, well, not the whole reason, but there was a lot of talk. It was the year after The Dark Knight came out.
Oh,
They were still doing 5 a year, and The Dark Knight didn't get nominated. And everybody was, you know, like, critically one of the highest rated movies of the year, commercially by far the highest rated movie of the year. Where in the world was that? So the Academy came out and said, you know what, we're going to make more room for nominations for things like this. We're going to expand it to upwards of 10 if enough movies get votes, and that'll be great. And like a year or two later, Inception got nominated and some stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So like they kind of did it at the beginning, and now the last couple of years they've kind of gone right back to, well, now we can nominate more art movies.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like American Sniper is by far, I think, the box office winner of the bunch.
Yeah.
But even that is, I mean, it's an Eastwood flick. It's I'm really excited for it, but it's not like a big epic action movie.
Yeah.
You know, they could have really broken some ground and nominated Winter Soldier.
Oh, man.
You know, why not?
That would be so good.
Yeah, triple your ratings for Oscar
night.
No
joke,
you know,
right?
By putting stuff, even if you know it's not going to win, it's just nice to get
the nod,
yeah,
right?
Because I really think it's more important to get the nomination than it is to get the win, because once you get nominated, like, to get nominated is to say, hey, we really did something that people noticed.
Right.
To get the win is random chance or whoever marketed better.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
But they don't do stuff like that, and therefore, when I look at the lineups, I get super excited for the marathon, and then I look at the lineup and I go, hey! Yeah, I kind of want to see most of those.
Yeah.
You know? But doesn't matter. Like, it's not even about the movies. It's just about the celebration and the excitement and getting to sit in a theater for 9 hours.
Right.
You know, even if I'm watching movies that I'm only interested in rather than super excited for, I'm still going to have a blast.
Right.
And very I recommend cool. that we take several people. I mean, the group that goes started out as 3, and we're up to, like, close to 10 now, I think. And
wow.
That's just people we go with.
Right.
Let alone people who have heard about it and joined in. And we got several people who go, I mean, I won't bother naming them on the air because you guys don't know them, but Dan, you know them. Several of our friends who go that they're not big movie guys.
Yeah.
Some of these guys only go to movies theaters twice a year, and it's the 2 days of this marathon.
Right.
But they all really enjoy the time.
Right.
Know? Like,
right.
It's a really good time.
Well, yeah, you just get to sit there and watch movies all day.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like,
they give you They give you about 10 minutes after each one. You can sit there and talk about it. They do trivia and stuff. I mean, the AMC, at least the one here in town, really puts on a good show. They feed us. You know, they cater
in,
or they make their fried foods or whatever. You buy your popcorn, you get refills all day.
Right.
You know, so you can. You just sit there, you get together a little early, you watch the movie, you talk for 10 minutes, you watch the next one, you talk for 10 minutes, they do their trivia
and
stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a super fun
time. I wish
time.
I could do that. I will not be able to attend it, though, because I will be in New York City this
weekend. Yeah, you're always traveling during this time.
I always, every year. Yep, so actually shortly after this podcast goes live on the internet, I will already be on my way to New York City to cover New York Toy Fair. So that'll be the last little plug here for this episode. Make sure you guys stay tuned for all my coverage. I'll be doing lots of stuff. And so that means our next episode of this show will be all about the Oscars and Toy Fair.
Yep.
So we'll be
recapping.
I wanted
to do a little bit more preview for Oscar stuff this one, but then Sony came out.
Then the Spider-Man
with Marvel
thing.
Marvel and the Spider-Man thing hit, and I'm like, well, that's way more important than
right.
any of this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's cool. We'll be recapping both of those events in the next episode, so we'll have
ooh,
plenty
and
to talk
NPH is hosting.
Yeah, that's fun.
So that's going to be super cool,
yeah.
I hope.
I like NPH a lot.
Yep.
Barney Stinson, except I still have a sour taste in my mouth from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't like the way it ended. Awesome. Well, I think that is going to wrap up this installment. Lots of exciting news. This is definitely going to be a lot of fun, a lot to look forward to in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Man, yay Marvel.
Yeah.
I love it, man. I love it very
Amen.
Much.
Amen.
All right, guys. Well, if you enjoyed the show, make sure that you are subscribed to us. We are available on iTunes. That's probably the best way to subscribe to us. And if you use iTunes, please feel free to rate us as well, because the more ratings we get, the more eyes get on us. So that way more people can find us. So we would really appreciate a rating and a review on iTunes. That'd be very cool. If you don't use iTunes, if you're an Android user like myself and Jonathan, you can actually find us on the Stitcher app. And we're also available on Podbean Online. So several different ways that you can find us and follow us. We would love it if you guys shared it, tweeted it, Facebooked it, whatever you want to do. Just spread the word on the podcast. We'd love to bring in some new listeners to the show. You can follow me on Twitter, @PixelDan. And you can follow Jonathan on there as well.
@JLeonard31.
Feel free to always tweet towards either one of us or both of us at the same time. You can use the #GeekEasyPodcast if you want to. That way we know exactly what you're referencing. We should know, though. Yeah. But use that hashtag. That way other people see it.
Somehow in the last 5 to 10 years, I've gone from being pretty good at computers to being completely just like internet dumb. So I don't get on Twitter nearly as much as I should. I'd like to improve that. I hope to improve that, but no promises for the near future. But if you tweet me, I'll probably respond.
Yeah, at least you'll see it.
Yeah.
At least you'll see it. Honestly, if I didn't have to use social media so much for my review job, I probably wouldn't be as keen on it either. I wouldn't know what's going on. I have to learn this stuff because I have to utilize it, you know, like I better know what this thing is and how to use
it. It's not that I'm not like, I like it. It's neat.
Yeah.
I don't like the Facebook all that much.
Yeah.
But I like the Twitter. I think it's a great
idea.
I like
Twitter.
I just don't
better.
Understand it.
Yeah.
I just see all these pounds and hashtags or whatever they're called.
Yeah. Pound signs.
Yeah.
Remember when hashtags were pound signs?
Yep.
Things have changed.
Old man Leonard on the tweeter.
Old man Leonard on the tweeter. Pound Geek Easy Podcast.
Pound, get off my lawn. Pound.
All right, guys. Well, that is going to wrap up this installment. So until next time, I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
Take care, my friends.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.